Hey, everyone. We want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all-over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello there, and welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. I'm Adam Russell.
Hey guys, I'm Ryan Key.
Only one of us has COVID from Mosh Eisley, and it could be one of three. I'm Mike Forrester. It's probably me.
It might be.
Did you test? You actually have it?
Yeah, I actually got two lightsabers on my test today, so pretty cool.
The red ones.
Pretty cool.
I just had it too, and it sucked.
Yeah, so, but look at me, I'm here. We had a hell of a weekend, didn't we?
Hell of a weekend.
Man!
The force was strong with this past weekend.
I don't think I have COVID. But I did come down with whatever condition you call the paleness of my skin compared to you guys. What the hell is going on? Why do I look like a dead person?
Currently, right now, or in general?
I mean, like in real life or like the way you're lit right now?
Right now, it's so bright, the skin.
I don't know. Your room is just brighter than ours. Look, like Mike has the lights off. He's like,
what are you guys doing to me here?
It's kind of nice. Didn't you get some sun from Florida? What did you wear? I felt like I had a nice glow after I got back.
Or a cape and a helmet. No.
I live here, but I don't go outside.
Yeah, man, I get that. Should we do a quick recap of our weekend in under 2 minutes just to let the people know how much fun we had? I feel like we should.
Yeah, we had a ton. It went off with a few hitches, but it slayed. It was the biggest Mosh Eisley yet.
Yep.
It was like 1,000 people there. It was crazy.
It was nuts.
It was bonkers. Biggest event for that venue, that whole thing, that downtown Kissimmee thing, Old Town, whatever it's called.
Right.
Apparently, that's the biggest like single event they've ever had, which was pretty sick.
Way to represent, yeah. Nerds.
You could tell by the parking.
Yeah.
Ryan, you can...
I wasn't going to say anything.
Very spicy. Very spicy by the parking. It was at the same... Well, I also think to kick it off, we did Friday at Epcot, which this was my... Because we're talking about this on the podcast. That was my first time in Epcot ever.
Really?
Like, yeah.
So I'm so happy that you've got to do it.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, and since I was six when I went the first time. I don't really count that, right? Because I don't remember anything.
Right.
But just being able to go with the Roosevelt's crew and hang with those guys, they've obviously been such a huge supporter of our podcast. To be able to go and like they've got their insider group and a bunch of people who buy their stuff, and then they have a Facebook group of 30,000 people that go and meet up everywhere. It was super great to meet everyone and also just go and drink around the world. And I could, Ryan Key gave me the rundown of at this.
You didn't do all 11 countries though, right?
I did not. But I could tell like you were like, you got to win this country, you do this. And probably about right after America, I had that moon, whatever that moonshine was.
Yeah.
I was like, I think I regret skipping the egg rolls for sure.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you didn't have the egg rolls, did you? And I know you didn't because I was with you.
Yeah. So I can see why.
That's the key.
Yeah. So I think what I'd like to do is come back when we don't have 1,000 person party to plan, and I will get the egg rolls with you. Absolutely.
I mean, it's more important if you're doing the full experience.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going, if you're like, if you have either You know, like a piece of paper with the checklist or the app on your phone. There's one you can get, or, you know, anyone can go on eBay and order the vintage like pins from the World Showcase pins from, okay. You know, the like 80s and 90s when they had them. I don't know if they, you can still buy them in park, but there's like vintage World Showcase pins. And that's definitely a token, a badge of honor of like, because there's obviously not an official Disney drinking around the world.
Sure,
pin,
sure. Right.
But a vintage World Showcase pin, that's sort of the, you know, the unspoken sort of thing you get, right?
That's how you...
So you could just order one because it's on eBay. But right. if you're honest with yourself, you don't order that thing until you properly go from Mexico to France or the other way.
Right. And that's how you would let people know that you conquered the alcohols of the planet.
And if you're doing the whole thing, the egg rolls in China are very essential to not so much completing the mission, because you can make it to the end without them. It's more about whatever missions you have the next day that you want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. The egg rolls really help the next day missions. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure, sure. I get that.
But it was a good time. And I'm pumped that you got to finally see Epcot, because there's a Galaxy's Edge and I still kind of pick Epcot to go to. It's like, that's the park.
Sure.
It's just
the best. I have so much nostalgia for Epcot. So much.
It's the best.
Mike, what was your favorite part about Epcot? I know you didn't get to do rides and stuff, but...
Well, no, I did. Our buddy Kevin Wong, who was Moff Kev on our last Star Cruiser, is a Club 33 member. So he took us around to some of the secrets of Disney, which was a really lovely experience. And we all, in his, because of his ticket that he got us in, we got to do all the Fast Pass. And I got to go on all the rides. I got to go on Guardians. And I got to do Tron, I guess, do all those things. So I'd never been on those, but I certainly, like, I'm with you, Ryan. Like, Epcot.
How good is Guardians?
Guardians is amazing. We ended up getting.
It's amazing.
It's very cool. We ended up getting One Way or Another by Blondie, which is a banger track. And, you know, but I think still for as many people that said Guardians is, you know, that's the pinnacle. There is something about the fact that Rise is completely lit. I think a lot of it is when you're riding in the dark, there's a lot of the experience that your brain is kind of like more overwhelmed because you're in the dark. But I love the Terry, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but I love the pre-staging. I loved all of that. And I love the idea of the concept, but in terms of being aware of the screens inside Guardians, I'd actually say that Rise of the Resistance still does the immersion better than Guardians does.
But I think Guardians isn't necessarily for me about immersion at all. It's about the technology behind like the coaster itself. Like the way that it spins and moves, yes, and it's so fluid.
Yep.
You know, it's like it's Space Mountain, but there is no jerking you one way or the other. There's no like head.
Yeah.
You know, there's no rickety track feeling, right?
Which is
part of the charm of Space Mountain.
Sure.
But the fluidity, like how it's just so smooth, you know, for me, Guardians is more about like, it, you know, it's a thrill ride. Like Rise isn't necessarily a thrill ride. It's more of an attraction.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, I obviously I love going on Rise of Resistance. I would ride it 15 times in a day if I could.
Sure.
But if I had to pick between the two, I would probably pick Guardians just because of the thrill ride factor.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's such a fun roller coaster.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't even need to like go upside down or anything like that. It's so fun.
I mean, you're saying it right there. It's a roller coaster. That's a big difference.
And that is difference, dude. It's absolutely different. I think the interesting part too is when we were on Star Cruiser together, because you remember we had the experience where Kylo flies in the his silencer outside of the window.
Yeah.
I haven't had the original way in like 2 years now.
Oh, so I had the original way on Sunday.
You did? So they fixed it.
Yeah, I had it recently too.
Oh, I last time I rode it was still broken.
So the scene, so when you roll up and Hux and Kylo are looking out into through the, you know, the main bay doors, he actually like, I could tell that Kylo wasn't working because I know that he turns around and sees you, right? And then you back up.
Yeah.
So I went, oh, Kylo must not be working. So I was expecting the TIE silencer outside, or it's the whisper. Someone correct me. Anyways, his ship, Kylo's ship. And so we go down, we roll around the corner, and then he's standing there and he pulls us in. And I was like, oh, this seems like it's a Frankenstein of all the different experiences. And then the blade comes down through and all that stuff. So I like feel like that was the original way of doing it. But I actually I don't mind the tie outside of the window. I thought that was actually super sick.
I prefer it because as sick as the animatronics are, it's still
They're still
too uncanny. You know, it's
like vintage Disney a little bit. Still, right, it's a small world in Kylo costume.
Yeah, you can see where his waist moves back and forth. It's definitely, but
the one at a distance with Hux, they're facing away. They sell that much better. Sure. I think the other one is just too full frontal. It's too Jar Jar in broad daylight.
Sure, But I think, all in all,
full frontal Kylo.
Full frontal Kylo. Me and Nick got to go to the...
It's red. Spoiler, it's all red.
It's all red. me and Nick got to go to the con on Friday to stoke people out, and that was really fun. That con is huge. I can't believe that at that convention center, there were other conventions going on besides MegaCon.
What?
Cattle Con. You know this?
Oh my God. Get out.
I'm serious. Cattle Con.
I should have brought Jax.
So I was like, oh, wait, look at this. We got a Marty McFly in his full-on approaching Earth plutonium suit standing right next to three guys from Yellowstone. It's truly an incredible experience. But one of them was in cosplay. And one of them looked like they really needed to up that electrical fence. So there's two things that I didn't think I would get to see, but it was an awesome experience. Everyone who came out to Mosh, we had an amazing time. Being able to go and hang with everyone at the park on Sunday was great. But Friday was awesome to hang with everyone and do the Epcot experience my first time. I can see why people love that park, man. People love that part.
And it's just getting better. They're just going to, they're improving it more and more. They're putting in this new food and wine. They have the food and wine festival every year, but they're doing a more permanent version where there's going to be basically kind of a food truck, food stand vibe, more central in the park. Because right now, to do those things, you kind of really have to go back to the World Showcase and, pick which country and what kind of food vibe you want, unless it's the festival. And then they kind of have the little carts throughout the park. But my understanding is there's going to be more of a food and wine festival vibe that's more permanent through that new... remember you walked through now where there were those big LED spires sort of in the middle?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was still a bunch of wall... There was still construction wall there.
Yeah.
That whole thing is going to expand into a bigger Central Park sort of vibe. Yes. And they're going to have more food and beverage options. And they're also opening a theater there. A new performance theater. They have the one in the back on the water, where they have cool music residency stuff. Like a Simple Plan just did one, and lots of bands. You'd be like, what? They do residencies there at Epcot on that stage.
Interesting.
But they're building some new big theater, and also obviously the Moana experience, the Way of Water, is right there in that same central area. Because we moved back down here in late 2021, early 2022. So it's been, 2.5 years, kind of almost, or whatever, 2 years, a little over 2 years. And so my wife and I, we love Epcot. That's what we do. Like our Disney tradition is...
My
beautiful wife. Our Disney tradition is we get down there and we go straight to France, and there's all the way around the back, there's a little creperie that is really easy to get a reservation for. Dining at Disney can be hard.
Sure.
It's easy to get a reservation, and they have sweet and savory crepes, and it's just amazing. Everyone who works there is French or French Canadian, so it's just really authentic feeling. And we get French ciders, French hard cider, not like Mike's Hard Lemonade style.
Angry Orchard.
It's like
Blake's Hard Cider.
Like pear cider.
Give you diarrhea.
But we always start at Epcot, and we've been going for a couple of years now very regularly. We're annual pass holders, and it's been under construction forever. The whole middle of the park has had a wall around it.
Dang.
And so they're starting to take those walls down now, and now we have that big central... like I mentioned, that spire, that new sort of central spire park thing, and the Moana attraction is open. So the middle of the park has been closed for over 2 years. It's just been a huge circle you can't go inside of. Huh. And it's cool to see it finally opening up. So it's just, just to say Epcot's just getting better. It's just getting better and better. And they're really leaning into, I think, the fact that it's the adult park.
Sure.
It's grown-ups. The park where grown-ups like to go.
Frickin' Catalina wine mixer.
That's right.
What's interesting about that too, though, is like I feel like I didn't really notice. They do a good job of like hiding the construction, or at least moving you around. Because I'm like, I know what you're talking about now that you said it, but I felt like I didn't realize there was something.
Well, it's better now than it was. If you had seen it a year ago, you could definitely notice it. Like when you get right past Spaceship Earth and you get to like the Creations shop, big giant store.
Yeah.
There's just a wall. There was just a wall, wall, and you had to pick left or right to go, all the way around it.
Yeah.
So it's a lot better now than it was, but I'm psyched for, a couple of years from now when it's all done and it's just going to be this beautiful park. The renderings I've seen for that central area at night, the way they're going to do the lighting and the trees and stuff, it's going to be really cool.
So Yellow Card will have a residency there. We'll be able to come down once a month.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
This sounds like a really nice time. We're going to have a great time. This sounds amazing.
Yeah, see you there.
If it's anything like when we did Grad Night in 2005, I'm ready. Sign me up. Disney, if you're listening.
I'm in.
Because you play like the weekends or whatever, and then the whole week in between, you just get a van that will take you to any ride you want. And it's the real treatment. You get to play at Disney. So I'm ready to do it again.
Sure. Let's go. You'll be a Club 33 holder by then. I mean, it's real deal.
Yeah, get out of the way, simple plan. Hey, everyone. We want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all-over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts. They do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code thankthemaker with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code thankthemaker to get 20% off of your first purchase.
Speaking of layouts.
Yeah, speaking of parks and stuff.
Oh boy, it's happening.
Big announcement last week that is Disney adjacent, but we feel like it's important and has implications.
Moana 2. Can you believe it?
Universal has announced an opening date, well, an opening year, and they dropped a new trailer for the previously announced in 2019 Universal Studios, Universal Epic Universe. So big expansion of Universal Studios Orlando. It is almost doubling the size of Universal Orlando, apparently, which puts it not quite, well, depends on how you look at the size of Walt Disney World, because the actual property that they own is massive. It's like a whole damn city, but there's about 1,100 acres of parks, if you look at like the big four at Disney World, not including the water park and stuff like that.
Water parks.
Universal Orlando is currently 415 acres. So if, let's say they fully double that, that still comes short. But the rendering and the trailer and what they talk about looks big and expansive and pretty awesome if you're into all this stuff. So we wanted to kind of run down what they're bringing to it, what the concept's like, and talk about what the implications are for Disney and the competition. Now, finally, it's like some legitimate competition in the area versus just, the other park down the street that maybe we'll stop by when we're on our Disney trip kind of thing.
Just to clarify, are there still two water parks at Disney? Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach, or did they close Blizzard Beach? I know Typhoon Lagoon's there. Did they close Blizzard Beach?
I just checked and they look to be both there.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Water parks are gross, but Blizzard Beach is cool.
It's a cool concept.
I don't know what
it is. Lots of pee in there.
Wow.
So much pee.
It's a place you can go and pee? Love
yeah.
it. Yes.
It's a huge toilet.
Yes.
Love it. I'll be there.
Basically buy a ticket to go pee.
Yeah, I like that.
So Universal Orlando, Ryan, you've been obviously. Mike, have you been?
I haven't been recently as a kid. Yes.
I mean, I've been going since I was tiny since it opened and like regularly all the time.
Yeah, that was my favorite park when I was a kid.
YouTube is saying both water parks are open. Thanks to Brooke.
Yeah.
The cool thing about Orlando to me was it was all movie rides. Mm-hmm. And I was always a bigger fan of Universal Hollywood because you get the actual back lot. You get to see the actual Hill Valley Town Square and stuff like that. You get the Jaws ride. Orlando was more theme park, but still cool because I wasn't really like a Disney kid. So I was super into Orlando, but once Galaxy's Edge happened, obviously that changed everything for me. That being said, this is obviously like a direct response to what Disney has done the past 20 years, especially. And I'm actually very stoked. The thing I'm most stoked about is the competition that they're bringing, you know? So
right.
Let's talk about some details and then we'll get into a little discussion. So 5 worlds is what they're talking about, 50 experiences. Through the front gate, there's a sort of kind of Disney Main Street kind of thing called Celestial Park. Kronos is this their big kind of gate entryway. All this stuff is very time and space themed.
They look like stargates, basically.
Yeah, so you've got portals into the different worlds. Celestial Park has a bunch of dining and 3 quote attractions, which is a carousel called Constellation Carousel, Astronomica, which is dancing fountains. I don't know how you count that as an attraction. Starfall Racers, which is a dual launch roller coaster. And then at the back end of the park, they have a giant hotel that's built into the park, fully integrated. It's called the Universal Helios Grand Hotel. And then, like Mike said, the portals into each world, one being the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. They're expanding what they already have. They've had that Harry Potter thing for, I don't know, less than 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
Let's look it up.
Point being, they're expanding it. It's now going to be called the Wizarding World of Harry Potter Ministry of Magic. You'll get the 1920s Paris Fantastic Beasts stuff and the British Ministry of Magic.
It opened April 7, 2016. So it's only three years earlier than Galaxy's Edge.
And then a ride that's supposed to be a big deal. They're keeping that a surprise for now. There's a How to Train Your Dragon World, How to Train Your Dragon Isle of Burke. There's a dragon ride, and they were hinting at flying dragons. I don't know if they're doing some drone stuff, some overhead stuff, like the the Spider-Man thing by the trapeze thing over by, what do you call it?
Avengers Land.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm wondering if it's something in that kind of realm, because this whole thing in the trailer was it's all renderings, you know? They did one overhead shot of, like, the construction, but it's all just 3D renderings. And they didn't say much else about that park, but Dark Universe is one of the other big ones. It's all the Universal classic monsters, werewolf, Frankenstein's monster, Dracula, stuff like that.
Crazy to me. It's crazy.
There's a lot there. And like a horror world is something that I think people obviously will be super into.
100%. And then the big one at the end.
Big one at the end, yeah. Super Nintendo World, which already exists in Japan, right? Is that what they call it?
It's open in California.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Jason Chiodo, he overlooks it with his office. Cracks me up.
Got it. So they'll have one of those. I don't know if they're going to do anything different with that, but it looks like a full-scale 3D version of the Super Mario Brothers world. Like, once they pushed into, like, the 3D version in the 90s or whatever, that's kind of the aesthetic of it. You know, it's all the 8-bit stuff, but 3D and rounded and...
Yeah, it's a lot.
You know, kind of...
A lot more bits.
Up-resed. Yeah.
But it's very cool. It's got all kinds of different stuff. Like you can, you know, you punch the blocks and you do all that different stuff. Like they've done it pretty well. And on the topical level of my friends who have been to both that seemingly aren't as dedicated to Star Wars to be ultimately on the defense as soon as they go there. Harry Potter is for a lot of, I work with college kids, right? So I work with kids who are 18 to 22. Harry Potter is their big imagination, right? That is the thing that hit them when they were kids. And so the way that we feel about Galaxy's Edge is how they feel about Harry Potter in a lot of ways. What's interesting on that side of it is that Harry Potter, the Hogwarts or whatever it's called, the Wizarding World, that's been the thing that's kind of set the tone for people saying immersion. And, you know, I think at this point, Universal knows that immersive experiences are what keeps people coming back
for sure,
under the guise that you can change them and do those things. And what's to say that eventually you won't be able to eventually just straight up stay at Hogwarts?
Yeah.
Because they know that there's a huge fan base calling out and saying, we're really upset that you guys closed Galactic Star Cruiser. And Universal might say, come on over, let's do it.
Yeah.
But in the spirit of competition, maybe that's what it takes.
Yeah. And obviously this is not like something that was just sprung on Disney. It's been in the works for years. But now that it's been announced and the buzz is really buzzing, I hope they're feeling the heat.
Agreed.
That's the biggest positive out of this. There's also like a man's Chinese theater looking kind of thing there. It's something that it just gave me like the Hollywood Studios kind of vibe. which makes sense. You've got Universal Hollywood, like they have as much right to make that kind of vibe in a park as anyone. It just looks like a decades overdue shot at competing with Disney. The whole trailer, like
or Hollywood Studios,
just the whole park. It just looks like it's about time, guys. And even the language in it is so reminiscent of all the Disneyland language going back decades, you know?
Right. So if you look at their properties too, though, big properties are Harry Potter, Jurassic Park. You have in here Back to the Future, which unfortunately I think is a strictly nostalgia franchise only at this point, right? There's no plans to re-inject anything into those original stories. And then we have things like How to Train Your Dragon, and the Universal Monsters, which to me is mind-blowing. That I understand that I think they're going with horror as a concept that makes it interesting for people who are into that. Like Ryan, like Austin Romero.
Yeah, he's going to live there.
Right.
Yeah.
He's going to live in that park.
Right. And I think we've seen, have we seen successful iterations of things like, what is Hollywood Horror Nights or any of that stuff? Like what is that?
Halloween Horror Nights, yeah. I mean, it's a big deal, and it's... you know, for me, being a Disney kid and always my whole life preferring Disney over Universal, getting to go down there so much my whole life, Horror Nights was the one thing that was like, oh, hell yeah, we're going to Universal. So they have a lot of experience and success in creating that spooky vibe. So to build, you know, to have them be building a section of park that is basically permanently dedicated to being Halloween Horror Nights. Now, it seems like this is going to be more focused on classic characters. Like you said, Dracula, Frankenstein, werewolves, you know.
Right.
Horror Nights is whatever's trendy. There's a Twilight haunted house. You know, there's a Nightmare on Elm Street one, even when there's no Nightmare on Elm Street. And sometimes
so the whole park gets turned into a haunted house?
The whole park. There are haunted houses, right?
So okay.
But the park itself is all converted in a couple of hours before when they close and you come back in. So there's they're not cast members at Universal, but whatever
crew,
they are.
Right. Crew, whatever.
There's crew all over the streets in makeup, you know, with chainsaws, with no chains on and running up behind you. And, you know, I mean, it's I haven't been in a long time. I'm sure it's even more just gnarly than it was from the last time I went, but
Yeah, I went in 08 and it was sick.
It's really fun.
I mean, I just think the interesting part about them going with the Dark Universe thing, because they did try to reboot the Dark Universe a couple of years ago, kind of smoldered out, right? Like Tom Cruise was
the Mummy
was
reboot,
responsible
right?
for bringing the Mummy back out, and then Russell Crowe was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and then I think the last time they messed with the Wolfman was Benicio del Toro the mid-2000s, right? So it's just interesting to me that they've basically taken what are these Universal monsters from the classic film era. And then they've kind of like basically based all of this off of essentially what we know is the basic Halloween costumes at this point. Yeah. And I can't tell if it's like how many, you know, where the Five Nights at Freddy's and all that kind of stuff like that kids are into now. Like, it seems like, where is that in the park? Like, what is that?
It's impossible for me to even consider how this competes, because I'm full disclosure, I am not an objective podcaster right now. Like I have never found Universal to be, you know, a destination that I want to go and experience things. Like I would rather ride Peter Pan in Fantasyland than the Fast and Furious at Universal. It just does. Like there's nothing magical about that. There's nothing, you know what I mean? Like, to Adam's point, like, the real backlot and when I was a kid, and even, you know, I didn't go to Universal Hollywood in California until I was an adult. But as a kid, they had the backlot. They had like a backlot ride at Orlando, and and it was all really cool. And especially the first time I went, you know, the Spider-Man ride was all time back then, time, you know. But it just wore off so quick, because it was like, these aren't. Other than the Spider-Man ride, I will say that. I would have gone there as a kid all day and just gone back in line to ride that ride when I was like 10 years old, whatever, 12 years old, however old I was. But otherwise, these are not IPs that make me feel things.
Yeah, sure.
And if they are, even if they are, like Jurassic Park or Transformers as a kid, something like that, they're not presented in a way that has that Disney thing. It just never was to me. And I just will finish by saying, like, when you said this is what we were going to cover on the pod tonight, I was like, oh, well, I don't really know anything about Epic Universe. And so you sent me that, Mike, you sent that video. It said, this is 7 minutes long. Watch it. When I was done watching it, all I wanted to do was go to Disney.
You checked your Club 33 status and you were like, am I in yet?
Like, I don't want to be, we're not a podcast that supports any form of negativity. So I'm not going to, because it's not about being negative. It's not the same. I don't know. Now look, there's a whole generation.
Imagineering is a real thing.
There's a whole generation of people that are probably going to be so pumped on this experience, right? Like,
yeah.
It's old guy talking to say, all I wanted to do was go to Disney after I watched the video, right? Like, I get that. And I'll be really excited to go to the Ministry of Magic experience, the Harry Potter, because both Harry Potter experiences at Islands of Adventure and Universal Orlando are incredible. Okay, I don't want to take away from that at all. They're incredible. But I will say, Mike, you've brought up a couple times like immersiveness in those experiences.
Sure.
I've been so many times to both. I've probably been to both Harry Potter experiences at least 10 times each.
Yep.
And I don't really feel like there is any sort of immersiveness. I like the park itself, the world, the land, you know.
Yep.
I love how it's hidden away from the rest of the park. That's really cool. You have to go, you know.
It's supposed to be Diagon Alley. Yeah.
Diagon Alley. How do you get to Diagon Alley from the park? Because Hogsmeade, you like go around behind a wall.
Okay.
And then you take the train over. I said I've been over 10 times. I can't even remember how you get into the freaking attraction.
It really left an impact on you.
But there's that. But once you're in there, you do not see or feel any part of the rest of the theme park. So that is immersive in that way.
Sure.
But I would say that there is absolutely no difference in the level of immersion in Galaxy's Edge and Hogsmeade or Diagon Alley. Like in fact, the cast members walking around, you know, with the droids and this sort of like really consistent in-universe dialogue, Bright Suns. And if you talk about Rey's lightsaber being the wrong color, they're going to correct you, you know, that kind of stuff. That's not happening at Universal. So I think this is it's really cool to have another amazing experience in Orlando, the world, you know, the world's capital of theme park, you know, amusement park experiences. It's going to be amazing, but I'm afraid I'm not even going to have anything to say for the rest of the night on the podcast, because for me, it's just, I already know it just doesn't compete, dude. Like I'd rather ride classic Disney rides than already like what I saw they're bringing to this new park at Universal. It's just not for me.
Sure.
Dude, here's the thing. Like, I feel like our perspectives are most focused, Mike, you and I especially, on Galaxy's Edge, because we weren't Disney kids. So that's the big thing for us. I do get nostalgic still when I go to Disney. When Jill and I walked in last January, walked into Magic Kingdom, I choked up. You know what I mean? It's just, it's so good. And there's so much cultural nostalgia. It's just such a part of like the zeitgeist of our lives.
Yeah. And it smells like chocolate chip cookies and popcorn. The second it's like you're on this side of the gate, you can't smell it. You go through the thing with your finger, beep. And then all of a sudden, you can smell it.
I'm happy.
So it's great. But Galaxy's Edge really is the thing. And the best part about Galaxy's Edge, I haven't been to the Harry Potter thing, but Harry Potter fans who have told me it's better than Galaxy's Edge say, surprisingly, it's better than Galaxy's Edge because it's the actual place from the movie and you get to relive the stuff in the movie.
That is true. Mm. That is true.
And to me...
Not that it's better, but that you're in the actual... current, you're in the film, you're in the story that's already written.
But to me, that's cheaper. That's like a cheaper trick.
Sure.
Because I think the best decision they made with Galaxy's Edge, that we were all a little taken aback by at first, is that it was a brand new planet that we hadn't been to. We were all a little bummed that we couldn't walk into the actual Mos Eisley Cantina. We couldn't, you know, see the actual so-and-so, you know, list, whatever you want to see. But ultimately, that's so much better because you get to live your own story. You get to see all the familiar things.
Right.
But this giant expansive universe, why the hell would they just do a knockoff of something that's already been on screen? Instead, you create your own adventure. And for us, I feel like that's so much more valuable. So I don't know if there's something that Universal could do that could hang with that?
Well, I would defend it a little bit, Universal. I think I would defend it a little bit to say that Star Wars is inherently, even in the original trilogy, in the first film, before they had any idea what they were doing with the story or the movies, was so much more expansive than Harry Potter. Like,
right.
You already had Tatooine and Alderaan and, you know, different planets, different, you know, Harry Potter is like, you're either through the platform or you're in London. And so it's like, could they have done like, this is the wizarding school in America, you know? But like, there's not enough story to like back that up and make you create your own. You know what I mean? Like, like kids want to be wizards if they're fans of Harry Potter, but they just want to go to Hogwarts. Whereas in Star Wars, you just want to be in the galaxy far, far away.
You just want to be a Star War.
Yeah. And I think that's inherent to just the nature of the two stories. So I agree that it is just the movie, the Harry Potter, you know, Hogwarts is just, it's Hogsmeade. You're just in the movie. You can see Hogwarts up on the hill and you're like, holy shit.
I felt like I was in Hogwarts when I was walking around in England in Epcot.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I mean, I was like, they serve butterbeer here? What's going on? I did get a black and tan. But anyways, I think,
yeah.
Go on, Ryan. Sorry.
No, that's it. That's all I got. I don't know that there was a way for them to do what Disney did with Galaxy's Edge, because the story is just a little bit more restrictive, right? I mean, it's like, it can only be what it is. Whereas Star Wars, it's like,
could be anything.
We're still in the process of building and finding new worlds and new things. So why not make one?
And then it's also allowing, what I think is interesting is Disney is in control of the future of Star Wars, right? And so we have this part of Galaxy's Edge that Galaxy's Edge, and we've been convinced multiple times that Galaxy's Edge is going to show up in a show. And for a while there, I think they were filming some promo that was just at a very weird time. And I thought we were going to Batuu in Mando season 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's still totally on the table. I mean, the Galactic Star Cruiser is sitting there. It still looks amazing. They absolutely could film something in there. But I think what's interesting, the HBO is rebooting Harry Potter, right?
Mm-hmm. So weird.
It is weird, right? And if it's like HBO
it's
doing
so weird.
It, if it's HBO doing it in the sense of being like, we want to make it, have it a little bit of a darker tone, or we want adult audiences, because HBO hasn't really, besides DreamWorks, DreamWorks is HBO, or is DreamWorks? DreamWorks is Universal, isn't it?
Yeah, DreamWorks is Universal.
Right. So if they get the, you know, they're doing the Warner Brothers development and HBO and Warner Brothers and all that, like, it's just interesting to me at where this land, just like people have criticized Galaxy's Edge for, almost gets like stuck in time, kind of what you're saying, Ryan, where it's like kids will show up there and it's like, what can happen is that their interpretation of Hogwarts could change based on whatever current media is being marketed to them, right? So it's all of it is just a very interesting case of what have they learned from Disney in the immersion sense. And my whole thing, like Adam said at the top of the hour, is saying, like, does this call Disney up to challenge themselves to remain as that Disney experience, Universal experience, of maintaining all of what Imagineering always shines at, which is doing something that people have not thought of and making it so that you truly forget that you are at a theme park, you are part of the land, which I think Galaxy's Edge has always done very well. But even on Sunday, I went to Galaxy's Edge, it did Rise, and we went to Epcot, and then we went to Ride Tron, and I had a reservation at Oga's, and I was like, you know what? I'm good. I've been there. And I canceled it, which seems crazy if you would have asked me that a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for us, Galaxy's Edge is a half a decade old at this point. And we don't know the future of it. We don't know what's happening to it. We don't know where it's still just as hard to get into Oga's as it was when it opened versus how it is now. And I think what this is asking people who are fans of Disney is they look at this and they go, this is an investment on Universal's side to go, we realize we have to up our game. But that shouldn't mean that Disney should just sit there, right? And with them closing the Star Cruiser, now you're asking yourself, like, well, what is that thing? What is that Star Cruiser level experience going to be? And I hate to say it, but is the future of theme parks walking around with Apple Studio Ones or Studio Pros on people's faces to make X-Wings fly overhead and add the aliens digitally that they didn't want to add by paying cast members. And it broke my heart for the amount of people that we had that have either been cast members at Disney that said, yeah, when Epic opens, I'm absolutely going to go and apply over there. And I'm like, sheesh, that's got to be a hard thing to hear on the side of going, what makes Disney amazing in so many ways, right? The experiences are great, but like there is something about bright suns, like you're talking about, Ryan. They are selling the idea, the Rays, the Chewies, the Vimaratis, all of those people, you know, the cast members are selling that. So you look and say, what is the move to keep, if Universal Epic Universe is now going from a C to a B+, is Disney going to stay there and go, well, we get an A? It's like, well, B plus is a hell of a lot closer to A.
Yeah.
All I will say is, as a Florida native who's been here for all of it, when Universal was opening, and especially when Islands of Adventure was opening with all the crazy roller coasters, you know, that were promised to be not, I don't know, Six Flags, like boardwalk feeling roller, you know, like meaningless roller, just like, here's a thrill ride. Like they were going to be, you know, the Hulk ride was crazy. And, it was like, oh man, Magic Kingdom's been open forever. And this is just going to be the Disney killer. It didn't even like remotely even
dent it.
Yes.
I forgot that park existed until today.
It didn't. But I mean Universal in general. I'm not just saying Islands of Adventure was the one that was supposed to do that. I just mean, it was like when it was opening, you know, holy shit, there's a whole new theme park coming. And everybody knew about the Jaws ride and everybody, you know, it's like, it was a big deal. It's like, this is coming to Florida. What's Disney going to do? You know what Disney did? Nothing. And you know what changed as far as them being on top of, you know, nothing. They just, Disney stays the course. And I think they've never.
Except for Star Cruiser.
Well, yeah. But they were underwater. So it's, you know.
Right. Continue.
The parks have never been underwater. they do the thing that they've always done and they don't really deviate from that course. And so I don't think that this is going to have any effect whatsoever on the operations or future plans of parks at Disney, personally. I don't think they're worried in the least about this park opening.
Do you think that's the right call?
Yes, because I've seen them. I've seen it happen before. I've seen, you know, granted I was a kid, but I just remember the hype around Universal.
Right.
And then it was like, no one wanted to go to Universal. Everyone just wanted to go to Disney still. All my friends, my family, it's just not the same. Having a bunch of random IPs slapped together in a park is a fun day at the park. It's fun. I'm going to go. Right. I want to see it. I'm going to go do it. Right. I'm not hating on it. But having a bunch of random unrelated, isn't it wild how Star Wars feels related to Peter Pan now somehow? I don't know how. But it feels like Mickey and Minnie's train ride or whatever the thing it is.
Runaway Railroad.
Runaway Railroad. Yeah, at Hollywood Studios. It feels natural to walk from there to Galaxy's Edge. Like they all belong. Whereas I've always felt like Universal, I'm like, okay, that's the Transformers thing. And that's the Jurassic Park thing. And that's the Spider-Man thing, you know? And I just don't think that is going to change, especially after watching the promo video for the first time tonight. I was like, oh, it's the same thing. It's five totally disconnected ideas in an amusement park to go do. And that sounds really fun. Sure. But I don't think it's threatening Disney at all. And I don't think they're trying to play catch up or planning to catch up or one up them in any way. I just don't.
Well, I hope you're wrong. I hope this place is super sick, and I hope it does apply pressure because
it's going to be super sick. I'm not saying it's not going to be super sick.
I'm just saying I hope they do feel the pressure because that's just going to push innovation, whether that's innovation on the park experiences and or ticket prices, season pass prices, annual pass, whatever. I think the better job Universal does, the better it is for Disney fans.
I agree with that, but I would say that you got to remember that right now, they are innovating. They already are. They're already like scheming up amazing shit right now. You know, it's like,
for sure.
I just don't think this park is the thing that makes them go, oh, we're not scheming enough. We're not thinking enough. We need to do more. They're doing what they do. And I think when it comes to pricing, it kind of ties into what I just said. At Universal, yes, it is more affordable a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. I think the annual passes are probably quite a bit more affordable. Mm-hmm. But tickets are expensive to Universal still.
Yeah,
sure.
But I think it ties into that idea that all these different IPs, all these different kind of, for lack of a better word, random experiences in a theme park, Disney's more expensive. But think about the experience that you get. Like, think about the level of care with the person that's serving you your popcorn on Main Street versus the whatever experience you get at Universal. It's not the same. It's not.
Yeah,
like, it just doesn't have that same level of care. I think I just said that. That's the best way I think I could say it. And I've been going there since I was a little kid, and I wouldn't have known to process that thought that way back then. But I now look back on it and can think about my childhood experiences and this sense of wonderment and magic and just overwhelmed by how real. And it's funny because we talk about how real Hogwarts feels, right? But the park itself, to me, Disney, I think, Adam, you said that, like, the magic of walking onto Main Street, that was such a big deal. Whereas Universal was like, I just want to get in the park so I can go ride Spider-Man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just don't think that's changed. And I think the fact that you said that about you and Jill walking in, you not even being a Disney kid and you having that sense that when you walked in, walking up on the Universal Globe in the water, it's not going to feel like seeing Cinderella's castle ever.
Here's the only thing that could touch that for me. And I think this is a couple decades away, technology-wise, to pull off something like this. If they made a real Jurassic Park, not actual animals, but all robotic.
With the big gates that open and—
like a full theme park.
Yes. I just got, you miming it gave me goosebumps.
Yeah.
Okay. But if they do that, I agree. That's, I mean, how is someone not trying to work that out? They are. They have to be.
Robot dinosaurs running through the woods. Give it to me.
That's a full park though.
Yeah.
That can't be one of the, you know, the sixth world at Epic Universal, Epic Universal or whatever. Epic Universe.
Right.
Like that's a universal park that they open, but it's come and stay, you know, just like the movie in the Jurassic Park hotel, and you get in the Ford Explorer and you head out.
We spare no expenses.
Yeah, I agree. That would be something, you know, that I think that would have a lot of magic to it.
Williams theme. Yeah.
But it brings up an interesting point of, like, where are these IPs also being fed from? Like, Universal had a $1 billion movie on their hands with Mario. And for a movie that hasn't really been able to transition out of being everyone's favorite video game, like, my daughter loves that movie. That is her favorite movie, right? She's seven. She, let's say her catalog isn't totally stacked, but, like, I can't wait to bring her to Super Mario Land. She's stoked on that, right? Yeah,
her mind's going to melt in her skull.
100%. And
it's just, she's going to be mind blown.
And there's kids that are still, like, even some of my friends, with kids in the kind of 8 to 12 age range, they're Harry Potter kids, right? So that's awesome. And some of them struggle to connect with Star Wars because it's so vast. Mm-hmm. And then you have also at the same time, like, How to Train Your Dragon, you have these other things, which Disney still is wiping the floor with them in terms of IP. But I think there is something about the fact that we're getting a new Jurassic Park movie. We all have nostalgia for it. So, like, us and Star Wars are the same thing versus I kind of fell off on Harry Potter. But there is a younger audience that is, like, still incredibly feverish for it, just waiting for it to get reboot. So I don't know how much, I don't know if the two of them are even saying, like, are we worried about them competing against each other? Because I think people who go to Florida just want to go to Florida and they're going to go to the parks, right? But I think what Disney would be looking at is saying, how do we get people to stay? If you're going to come and spend a week in Florida, how do we get you to stay a day at all four parks? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, if Universal is saying, if we're the fifth day, we're cool with that, right? But by upping the size of the park, now might turn into, we're planning on taking a day from Disney for you.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to get people to stay this is, like he said, it said in the video.
That huge cast or that huge hotel. Yeah, exactly.
First of its kind. There's never been an in-park immersive hotel.
Right.
And he, like, same dude said a full week of experiences.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what they're pushing for.
Right.
They want what Disney has.
And that's interesting because, like, if someone plans one trip a year down to Florida, if you're up in the north like I am, you got to choose then. That's a call. So, Ryan, to your point, Disney's going to stay the course. Disney's going to stay the course. I agree with you. But in Adam's court, I am 100% hoping that the message that they get from this is to not sleep, is to not go, we're Disney, so people are going to like us automatically, because Imagineering wasn't built on saying what people expect from us is fine. Mm-hmm. I think the innovation still has to be there. And what is most confusing for me is the fact that they closed Star Cruiser, which was the most innovative experience that I think anyone at a theme park has ever seen.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because they're learning from it. I don't know.
But don't you think that to really accomplish what you're talking about, Disney has to entertain the idea of like an entire new park? And maybe it's time for that. I'm not saying it's not, because it's been a long time since Hollywood MGM Studios at the time opened. It's been a long time.
I think at this point, I think we all know.
Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom opened after MGM. It's been a long time since Animal Kingdom opened. So like,
which is an underrated park, by the way.
Oh, I love it. I love Animal Kingdom. I love all of them. Yeah. I'm a shill. I'm a Disney shill. I don't care. I'm sorry.
Oh no. Now YouTube's going to call us out on it. No, I think, but think about it from this way. If they were, I think we know at this point, the feverishness of saying there should be a full Star Wars land. I'm going to say it. Full Star Wars park, because they should move Avatar out of Animal Kingdom and move it into where Hollywood Studios is.
Well, they can't. Like, they can't move stuff.
Well, no, I know they can't do that. But I'm just saying, in terms of them blowing something up, it's like, we know that the feverish part of, like, I have to imagine that when I did the, when I did the survey after I visited, I was like, what is taking Oga's Cantina so long to expand? It's still just as much of a pain in the ass to get in there. The ride for Rise of the Resistance is still insane. There's no guarantee that you're
going to... Yeah, it's three, 4 hours still.
Dude, it's insane. So like at this point, we know that people are doing everything they can to get their picture taken in front of the Falcon. I think they want, originally the original idea of going around on the Thales, on the Thales, and doing kind of a walk around the park that they ended up scrapping, the tie-ins to Galactic Star Cruiser, having more immersive people walking around and more aliens walking just make you feel like you were truly off-world. Like, people would... the crazy part is I would never probably go to Disney again. I would just go to that.
Yeah.
See, and like, that's where I think what I've been saying tonight comes from, for me personally, is that I would, though. I would still... like, I...
Sure.
Disney is a part of my DNA. It's how I was raised. I was raised in the parks. I went, my dad's mother lived in Maitland, Florida. We'd go down there in the summer for a month and she would take us three times a week. I mean, I grew up on Disney World and Disney films as a result of that too. You know, it's all hand in hand. So I would, and I don't want the Imagineering to just rest on their laurels and say, people like us anyways. I don't want that. And I don't think they're doing that. But I will say it works for them to do that. Like, it sucks, but it works. You know, it's like, and I think the real conversation here is, you know, is it time for a new park at Disney World? And I think maybe it is. It's been a quarter century. It's time.
Here's what I want. Little expansion of Galaxy's Edge. And I want them to take
a little one.
Just a little one is fine. If they take the lessons they learned from the Star Cruiser, not lessons, just take some cues from it, build a good level on the good, better, best scale, affordable, completely themed hotel, no acting required, just normal in-character cast members, just like they do everywhere else in the parks, burn the shit out of the whole thing so you are fully in Star Wars. And you, when you go to Galaxy's Edge from there, you get on a shuttle, a shuttle bus, and you go directly into Galaxy's Edge.
I don't think there's a way for them to do that without it being in the deluxe resort level.
Do it in the middle one, like put it on the better tier.
If you think about the design in the suite, in the rooms on Star Cruiser, and then go stay at an all-star resort, there's a lot of work to do to a room to make it feel the way that we would really want it to feel. Like,
yeah, but you don't need a giant LED window with Fresnel lens on it. Just the room itself isn't like too many levels above like an all-star. It's like prefab, just drag and drop.
But I think it is with like the pocket doors and the wall, the treatments on the wall, that give you that, like, I don't know the right word, just the kind of Star Wars tech that's all over the room in the architecture. Yeah, yeah. Like, All-Star Resort's a brown dresser and white drywall. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
That's why those rooms are still I mean, say what you want about prices at Disney. If you can still get a room for $150 a night.
Yeah.
I mean, at the All-Star Resorts. And it's like...
We'll put it at the $300 night tier. That works for me.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't know. I think if it's something where it does become a competition, if that's really kind of the vibe because of this Epic Universe, if it starts to encroach, then it's time to talk about a full park at Disney.
Yeah.
A fifth park. It's just been so long.
Yeah.
Well, we had, if you want to know more about this, we're obviously going to send people over to Princess and Scoundrel because I know that they're planning on talking about this next week. They are theme park people in every sense of the word.
Experts, if you will.
Experts, if you will. But I think that they're going to have some interesting takes on it. There was some other Star Wars news that kind of dropped today that I think we can probably hit very quickly before we wrap up. But all in all, like, man, I don't know. I'm kind of taken away from this hoping that as someone who just spent a weekend kind of in the Disney sphere, I'm like, let's play ball. I think it's awesome.
Let's talk about one other thing for just a minute before we go.
Okay.
Disney did drop a trailer today. This is kind of funny on some level. They did drop a trailer today for a new Fortnite expansion, I guess. I don't play Fortnite. I don't know the language around this kind of stuff.
Neither do I. Avid gamer, not a Fortniter.
You are an adult. It's a Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar, Disney, Avatar expansion. In the trailer, quote, discover a place where magic is epic. A new universe will emerge. Quote, this is going to be epic.
Well, they're teaming up with Epic Games, the brand.
I know. It's just really funny timing. You know what I mean?
Just sit there and just confuse the hell out of people. Just stir that batter.
That's the
right
thing.
Just stir that batter.
Because people are hearing this and noticing the parallels, and then someone just like you is saying, yeah, well, Epic's a game studio. Yeah, but why are they saying it now? Why this announcement now? It's just really kind of funny. But the interesting part, the last four words on the screen are play, watch, create, shop. Is there a whole shopping element to Fortnite that I don't know about?
Oh, God, dude. Fortnite is a multi-billion-dollar gaming system. It's a free game, and you basically pay to upgrade all of your things. It is $1 billion.
The merch is huge.
Dude, it's insane.
The merch is massive. Yeah.
So like buying skins and different things and weapons and all that stuff,
but also
right?
Physical merch, Fortnite merch.
Yeah. Fortnite, like the characters have absolutely left the game and they're out in. You can buy action figures for like Nerf. Nerf is basically all Fortnite guns now.
Well, so people will be buying in Fortnite real life stuff. Like while they're in the game, they'll be buying stuff to get shipped to their house.
Probably. Yeah, I'd probably say so. That's probably definitely a thing. I don't know.
Interesting. Okay. Well, there was that. I just thought it was hilarious, actually. Just like the language and the thing. And I wonder if it's just like, yeah, we don't care. Check this out.
And we have two dates for Star Wars in 2026, but we have to wait a whole year to get to those things.
Yes.
Which is exciting.
I'm curious as to whether or not, and I texted you guys this, if one of those is the Daisy Ridley film.
Yeah.
Not something new.
I don't think so.
Well, filming starts June or July. What is it?
For the Rey movie?
Mando and Grogu.
Mando and Grogu, yeah.
That's the only one that's gone to starting production, right? So to my knowledge, the script is still not finished for the Rey movie, but it seems like they went on. I mean, this is the hard part. After we have kind of got burned in a lot of these projects with their announcements, you're kind of sitting there going, I just don't know until I'm in the theater watching the movie. I just don't know if it's happening.
Yeah.
This one's happening, bro. Don't do this. Don't even.
I'm with you on that 100%. I just feel like that 2026 is going to be a great year for Star Wars because we'll be able to go back to the theater and see Star Wars. And I hope it is the Rey movie, and I hope that it is Mandalorian and Grogu. We gotta figure out a way to change that name. We gotta change that name.
Rey movie could be the Christmas 26.
Right.
That there's time for them to finish writing and shoot and get that movie out by that like classic December 15th, you know.
Yeah.
Release date that they were doing with the sequel trilogy and stuff. Could be.
That's totally possible.
It could be.
I mean, thinking about Mando and Grogu starting in July.
And that one is coming when?
Well, they said a movie made
May 2026.
May 2026.
What was the thing that had a December 15th date or something that was in the text thread today?
That's what they said is is slated for, if the information is correct. That is what Mandalorian and Grogu is supposed to be.
December of 26.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
But what are the May 26? What's the May 26 news then?
It just says untitled Star Wars.
That I don't think that if the script isn't done, I don't think they could have the Rey movie out by then.
Right.
That seems like the most likely release date for Mando and Grogu. That's 20 months. That makes sense.
Right.
I don't know.
So I mean, it's very there's a lot of stuff happening. I know that
two feature films in 1 year. What? Yeah.
And there's an Avengers movie the same year. So I'm just kind of like, man, I'm hoping they learn their lesson. Not giving me a lot of hope, but I think at the same time, I am so ready.
Rebellions are built on hope.
They are. You're right. You're right about that. I'm just so ready to sit in the movie theater and watch a Star Wars movie. So just don't screw anything up so that we have to not see it. Because I feel like even the fact that we're a whole year away lines up, because we'll be in Japan watching trailers for these movies. I'm in. And we have new shows coming out. Bad Batch is coming out 2 weeks from now.
Speaking of, next week on this podcast, Bad Batch Bingo.
Ooh.
Woo, bunch of old guys playing bingo. That's what you're here for.
Right. That's right. I'm excited about that. So I don't know. I feel like we got a lot of Star Wars to talk about. And it was great seeing you guys this weekend. I miss you already.
Yeah, good thing we have a Star Wars podcast. Love you guys. Yeah,
good thing there's computers and cameras and stuff.
All right, so next week, Bad Batch Bingo. Patrons, if you want to get involved again and whip our asses, I guess we're going to let you do that. Thanks a lot for that. We're going to do a little post-show thing. We just got this the other day, this Star Wars chat pack, little expansion pack, 125 conversation cards. This thing is written by Kelly Knox, Star Wars author. We're going to pull one of these out and do a little after show thing for patrons only. So if you want to check that out, patreon.com/thinktomakerpod, that's the spot you go. You press the button that says become a subscriber, become a patron, and then you'll hang out with us and get this and other things.
And Adam makes a living.
Yeah, well,
I'm trying.
Yeah, it pay some bills.
That's what I'm saying.
Help the man out.
Work hard. He works hard.
I do my best. All right, dudes. Love you. Everybody, thanks for listening and watching. And until next week, may the Force be with you. If you enjoy Thank the Maker, you can support us by following and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Or you can support us directly at patreon.com/thankthemakerpod, where you can get access to our Discord server, exclusive content, exclusive merch, our recording live stream, and more. Our patrons quite literally make Thank the Maker possible.